when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Truckers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trucker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Good evening, folks. Thank you for tuning in to Blood River Radio. This is Jacob Tyler filling in for Eddie the Bombardier Miller. And we have a real exciting show lined up for you tonight. To kick things off, we're going to open up with a prayer, as we always do. And so if each and every one of you would just bow your heads and close your eyes with us, we'll do that right now. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight. We thank you for this opportunity to be here on air, to be here speaking the truth and shaming the devil. We thank you for the opportunity to have these guests on tonight, these gentlemen who have labored long and hard in the trenches for the cause of truth and liberty. And we just ask that you would go with us this night, that you would strengthen us and embolden us and give us clarity of mind as we speak the truth to a candid world. And we ask that you would encourage your people, encourage all those that listen, that the battle is not to the strong alone, but to the vigilant and the active and the brave. And we just ask that you would go with us tonight and that you would be glorified in all that we do and all that we say. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we are here tonight with Pat Shannon, who is a rather distinguished and notable figure in the dissident right. Pat is actually an old family friend of ours. He and my father, Rick Tyler, go back a very long ways. Pat has been an investigative journalist for many years. He's been an author and a radio show host, and he's been in pursuit of the truth for nearly half a century. He was intrigued by the deception and ongoing cover-up of the JFK assassination and began to notice a similar pattern in the 1968 murders of the Martin Luther King and Robert F. Kennedy. And what he found altered, or the intentionally altered and fabricated FBI official reports regarding these and other cases were a major turning point for him, and during which time he began to notice the cooperative news media ignoring blatant and pertinent facts as well. Since then, he's been a very indefatigable researcher and activist in our circles. And Pat, we're honored and we're thrilled to have you on with us tonight. And tell us a little about yourself and introduce yourself to the audience if any of those who listen to this show somehow aren't familiar with you and your work yet.
Well, I think you just did that, Jacob. But yeah, good to talk with you always. And I think probably the best introduction for those who are not familiar with my work is just to go to a website called INI, that's Independent News International, INIWorldReport.com, and it's got all my books there, and it's got three or four daily updates on suppressed news. So that's a good place to kind of keep up with how much fake news you're seeing on TV. The My assignment today was to let's talk about 9/11, the anniversary coming up, and I got a co-guest with me coming on who's even more on top of the case than I ever was. I was telling Eddie the other day that I knew a lot about this case 15 years ago, but Dr. Kevin Barrett knows a whole lot more about the recent developments and what's going on, so he's gonna talk with us as well a little later, but not long ago, somebody put the question out on the internet: what are the clearest signs and evidences to suggest that 9/11 was an inside job? And that kind of stuck in my mind. I compiled a quick list of things. I'll go over here in the next couple of minutes, and should provoke some questions of you. But what are the clearest signs? Well, how about the fact that so many people reported hearing the multiple explosions? Or the fact that Building 7 never even got mentioned in the official commission report. How foolish. the fact that tremendous activity took place just prior to the event. And I'm sure that Dr. Barrett can get into that with us. There was a videographer that discovered the gold bullion in the bowels of the building, and he was threatened with a murder charge and had to escape the country to because they were trying to shut him up. How about the fact that the already written Patriot Act, been written all year, I think since January of 01, and it was suddenly rushed right in a few days after by Congress. How about this guy named Mohammed Atta? He was prior to September 11th. He was down in Florida with his gang, and they were hanging out in strip joints and drinking and snorting cocaine. And that all strongly indicates that he was not a jihadist. He was more like an intelligence operative. So those are some of the things that were going on. And of course, the fact that thousands of architects, engineers, relatives of victims, first responders, and now even some of the New York City fire commissioners are pressing for a new investigation. And I'm sure Dr. Kevin Barrett can bring us up to date on that, on what's going on with that.
Yes, Dr. Barrett is the founder of one of those organizations you refer to, actually. I believe it's the he can help us get straightened out on this. But I want to say that he was one of the founders of the Scholars for 9/11 Truth organization. And then, of course, there's several organizations now, to say nothing of the groups of families and friends of the victims of the attack on 9/11 who founded organizations of this nature. There's numerous organizations formed entirely of professionals, like the Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, founded by Richard Gage, that you referenced there. And I understand there's an entire organization just for pilots, you know, professional airline pilots who question the official story of 9/11.
Yes. And, of course, those pilots, that's it. Any commercial pilot or airline pilot in America would tell you that they could not have made that 270-degree turn that they allegedly was made at the Pentagon. And speaking of the Pentagon, thank you, Pat, the Pentagon is surrounded with surveillance. It's encircled with surveillance cameras. And that silly little thing they showed us that they portrayed as a missile, that is such a great cover-up.
Well, you got to love how even in that surveillance footage, which wasn't even from the Pentagon, the footage that they showed was from that gas station across the street from the Pentagon. And you got to love how in the bottom right corner of that video they released, you could see the word plane. I mean, if that's not proof that it was what they say it was, what else?
Well, that hole in the Pentagon wall also was in a very convenient spot for the enemy, that is. But it was 16 feet wide. Now, that's about probably the size of your outside wall of your master bedroom. And they packed a 767 in there. And, was the woman named Gallops upstairs. I interviewed her on a radio show about 15 years ago. She had her young child, a baby, 3-4 months old baby with her. And she was knocked unconscious. But when she left the building, she escaped downstairs through that hole. Told us there was no plane, there was no passengers, there was no nothing in there. It was a bomb on the inside. It wasn't any missile.
That's fascinating stuff, Pat. I got to cut you off briefly here. That's our cue to go on out to a break. Folks, we'll be right back with you. Stay tuned. We're off to a great start here on the show tonight, and we'll be back after these messages.
Kosher. Certified. Put the two words together to get kosher certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the sh sound, as in all those American food producers saying, shh, let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified? Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this. The Kosher Certified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities, and it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC, not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Like the towers, it just failed. The fire's not enough, no way hot enough to bring it down. The project for the new American century was added to a year before that day. It states in order to proceed, a modern day Pearl Harbor. Set them free, the project for the new American century. Like the towers, it just fell. Fire's got that spirit. Oh, 9-11, 9-11. Our civil rights have disappeared. A global fascist state draws near, and our freedom slips away. And they don't give us stuff. They made that clear enough. So now it's up to us to bring it down.
Folks, we are back after our break. Just wanted to give you all a little bit of mood music there. That was 9-11 Building 7, sung and performed by Martin Noakes from his album Life is Just a Ride. The song itself, as you could hear, talks and focuses a great deal on Building 7, which is one of the single greatest anomalies of 9-11, and as Pat was mentioning, was completely omitted from most reports about 9-11. So, we're here back on air with y'all. We're glad to be here. Glad y'all could be tuning in tonight. And we are talking about 9-11 with the anniversary of that tragic event being just 4 days from now. We thought it would be rather fitting if on the show tonight we dedicated some serious airtime to going into all the nuances and intricacies of that matter. And we're doing that here tonight with Pat Shannon, the one and only notable conspiracy researcher in our circles who's been at it and working hard in the trenches for the cause of truth for decades now. And so, Pat, as you mentioned earlier, we're going to be bringing Dr. Kevin Barrett on soon. And I was, as a fellow colleague, I mean, you've been at this for you know, so long and been doing such tremendous work for all the years that you have been. I thought it would be rather fitting if you, you know, gave just a little bit of an introduction. I'll talk a little bit about him too, but I was hoping you'd give a little bit of an introduction of him as a colleague and someone who's, you know, been closely following his work for quite a long time.
Well, certainly no one has been more on top of the 9-1-1 case than Kevin Barrett. And I'd like to ask him, what were you doing on September the 10th and all the days prior to 9-11? I mean, you've told me that your doctorate is in foreign languages. What motivated a guy like you, Doc, to jump on this case and with both feet and remain in it for 18 years as you have?
Well, that's a really good question. Sometimes I wonder that myself. I was kind of a long-term permanent academician focusing on languages and literature, and then later sort of religion, folklore, and mythology. I collected 3 MAs and then a PhD studying Sufism in Morocco, and my minor was folklore, and I was teaching at the University of Wisconsin, finishing up my PhD when 9-11 happened, and my first thought was, it wouldn't surprise me if the Israelis and their friends in high places had something to do with this, but we'll probably never really know. And so I went back to finishing my PhD. And then in the late 2003, I heard that Dr. David Ray Griffin, one of the world's greatest Christian theologians, as well as one of the greatest academicians in general, was working on a book that would soon be coming out called The New Pearl Harbor, that argued that the World Trade Center was demolished with explosives, that every aspect of the official story fell apart when you examined it critically. So I was shocked to hear that, and I looked at it myself and discovered that David Ray Griffin was right. And so from the beginning of 2004 until today, I've been pushing pretty hard at this because I couldn't live with myself if I didn't. You know, if I just had gone the career route and tried to get tenure, spent 7 years keeping my nose down and not doing anything controversial, I would have, you know, wasted those 7 years shortly after 9-11 and wouldn't have been able to make any impact on that. And I just couldn't see going along with this. The lie was so horrible. The wars that it launched were so terrible. The destruction of the Constitution and our freedom was so hideous that I just felt like I had to do something about it. So I've been working on it ever since.
Well, let's talk about some of the facts of of the case. You said, of course, David Ray Griffin was correct. We all caught that early. We all smelled a rat, you know, from the first day. It was much like the Kennedy assassination, except today we have better ways of discovering the truth. Back in 1963, the only thing we had to accept was what the news media were telling us, and that wasn't very truthful either. But what did you do? Let's talk about some of the discrepancies. What I mentioned some of them earlier, as you heard. What's the biggest thing that bugged you initially in the cover up? What was the most obvious?
Well, one of the problems that I saw pretty early on, even before I discovered David Ray Griffin's work, was that the story of the hijackings didn't make sense at several levels. First, there were questions about why these planes had been flying around for so long.
Okay, we got a break coming up.
Dr. Barrett, if you could hold that thought for just one second, please. That's our cue to go out to a break. Folks, keep listening in. We'll be back in just a few minutes after these messages. We got a real exciting show going on tonight for you. We're just honored to be here with Dr. Barrett and Pat Shannon. So stay tuned. We'll have some more exciting commentary on 9/11 coming up after this.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with John Hunt.
Search for victims and survivors continues 5 days after Dorian slammed the Bahamas with 185-mile-an-hour winds that obliterated countless homes and entire regions of the island. Officials say over 30 people have been confirmed dead, but that toll is sure to rise as there are still dead bodies floating through the area. Singer and actor Lenny Kravitz, who's currently on tour, is from the Bahamas and had this to say.
Damage has been absolutely massive. I know that we've all been praying for the Bahamas, and that's wonderful, but we can also take action. And so many of you have been reaching out asking what you can do. So these are the first three charities that I've donated to: the National Association of the Bahamas, CORE, and World Central Kitchen.
The Bahamian Health Ministry said helicopters and boats are on the way, but officials continue to warn of delays because of the severe flooding. This is USA Radio News.
This is sponsored by Facebook. Facebook is expanding its new local alert tool nationally by the end of the year. Local Alerts enables local governments and first responders to communicate urgent information when it directly affects people in their community or requires them to take action, such as road closures, blackouts, or natural disasters. Jimmy O'Keefe is the product marketing manager at Facebook.
When authorities mark posts as local alerts, Facebook greatly amplifies their reach so that people living in an affected community are more likely to see them. Facebook sends notifications to people living in the affected area and also shows that information on Today In, a new place on Facebook for local news, community information, and conversations between neighbors.
Over the past year, information officers from over 350 local governments have used local alerts in a range of everyday emergencies, including flash flood warnings, mandatory evacuations, and 911 outages. For more, visit facebook.com/help/publisher/local alerts.
Two federal agencies have told California officials that a deal with four automakers to abide by tougher emission standards appear to violate federal law. The Department of Transportation and Environmental Protection Agency said the Clean Air Act and other laws prohibit states from setting motor vehicle fuel economy standards. Pollution standards are closely linked to fuel economy. That move bypassed the Trump administration's plan to freeze emissions and fuel economy standards adopted under the Obama administration at 2021 levels. The upcoming trial of a Chinese national on federal charges that she trespassed at the president's Mar-a-Lago resort and then lied to the Secret Service, rejecting the strong recommendation of the U.S. District Judge Roy Altman, Ying Zhang fired her public defenders to act as her own attorney, a long-shot move the 33-year-old Shanghai business consultant has struggled with during pretrial hearings while setting up Monday's scheduled jury selection. This is USA Radio News.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Well, we are back from our break, folks, with our high-caliber guests tonight, Pat Shannon and Dr. Kevin Barrett. be getting back to the question Pat was asking Dr. Barrett in just a moment. For those of you who might not be as familiar with Dr. Barrett already, I wanted to just give you a real brief introduction to him. He is a, or Dr. Barrett possesses a PhD in Arabic studies and is an energetic commentator on the war on terror and deep political purposes behind it. He is, you can check out his website at jihadwatch.com. And he's been featured in numerous documentaries on the subject of 9/11 and is himself a very prolific author, having written numerous articles and books on the topic, many of which are available on Amazon. They may even be available on his website. We'll be sure to give him a chance and Pat, of course, to plug their work before the show's out. So without further ado, we'll get back to the interview. Pat, I believe you were asking Dr. Barrett about discrepancies in the story that he's noticed. So,
right, he was about, please continue. Also about the discrepancies in the hijacking.
Yeah. Well, first, just let me say my, first, my website is truthjihad.com. It's Jihad Watch is actually a crazy anti-Islam website run by Zionists. So that's the opposite of my point of view.
Mistake. My apologies. Yeah. Truthjihad.com.
There you go. Yeah. So speaking of the crazy Zionist Islam haters, those are the people that did 9/11. And you know this because they set up fake Muslim patsies to claim that these guys were hijackers. But if you look closely at the story of these supposed hijackers, first, you find that none of them were even on the planes, and we know that because there's never been any authenticated security video footage proffered of these guys boarding the planes. There's never been any authenticated passenger list with their names on them. There's never been any ticket stubs. There's never been any testimony from the people who would have ticketed and boarded these people. But secondly, and more importantly, these 19 guys that they claim did the 9/11 hijackings not only weren't on the planes, but they weren't even Muslims, or at least the people who were playing the roles of these stolen identities were not real Muslims. They were party-hardy, coke-snorting, stripper-dating, prostitute-fancying, pork-chop-loving, gambling, junket-enjoying party-hardies who were getting their money somewhere and had as much cocaine as they could use. They were also hanging around U.S. military bases, partying at the officers' clubs at military bases, and the Mossad was all over them. Many of them were still alive after 9/11, the actual people, not necessarily the impersonators. And actually, one group of these alleged hijackers left a Quran, an alcohol-soaked Quran, on the bar at closing time in the bar on the night before 9/11. I mean, this is the most ridiculous thing to say that these are radical Muslims. And so whoever was in charge of setting up these patsies to be blamed for 9/11 was pretty incompetent, because even the mainstream media has run many, many dozens of reports of this kind of behavior among these guys, and also reports that they didn't even know how to fly planes. The 9/11 Commission itself said that Hani Hanjour, who supposedly did an amazing stunt flight to hit the Pentagon, was the best pilot of any of the hijacker pilots, and yet he was so bad that his instructors had never even allowed him to solo in a Cessna training aircraft. And yet we're told that he flew all the way across the country and made a beeline to D.C. and did an amazing corkscrew dive to come in, clipping the lawn, and hit the newly reinforced wing of the Pentagon, killing the Office of Naval Intelligence, which was looking for some of the high-level criminals that probably were responsible for 9/11, and also killing a bunch of accountants. This being 9/11 was the day after Donald Rumsfeld had announced that $2.3 trillion had disappeared from the Pentagon's coffers. So the story of these supposed radical Muslim hijackers is a complete joke. Every element of blame against them has been obviously fabricated, and there isn't very much evidence. All we have against them is what Khalid Sheikh Mohammed supposedly said while he was being tortured, but all of the tapes and notes have been destroyed by the CIA, so we don't even know what he said while he was being tortured. We're just told he confessed. And then we also have two magic suitcases supposedly belonging to Mohammed Atta, presumably the fake Muhammad Atta, the fluent Hebrew speaker, who was the one dating strippers in Florida and running around snorting cocaine. So the two magic suitcases include, and all of this supposedly incriminating information pointing at these 19 guys. One magic suitcase was discovered in Hamburg, Germany, delivered to the police by a Good Samaritan burglar, and the police know that that was an intelligence agent in disguise. And then the second magic suitcase miraculously didn't make the transfer between the commuter plane that the fake Atta would have supposedly boarded in Portland, Maine. Then he supposedly flew that morning of 9/11 to Boston and made the transfer to Flight 11 and flew it into the North Tower. But the suitcase didn't make the transfer, and in the suitcase was the evidence claiming that these 19 guys had done it. So this was obviously planted evidence, and even very mainstream figures like Robert Fisk, the great British journalist, have said that this evidence is fake, this evidence is a joke.
Kevin, let me interject for a second on that identity theft. There also, as I remember, it was a few days later that the FBI announced the 19 names and named them. And there was, I was tuning into London and Berlin European news more on the net that following month. And here, we didn't see it here, of course, but there, I'm sure you remember there were a half a dozen, I think there were six at the time, and it might have been increased to nine, of the pilots who were named saying, "What the heck are you talking about? I ain't flown any plane into the World Trade Center. I'm here in Saudi Arabia, and I'm alive, and I'm flying tomorrow." They were outraged that they had been accused with that. And of course, then,
rumors of my death have been greatly exaggerated.
Muhammad Atta's passport, pristine passport, of course, was also found. But let me ask you this. Did planes actually hit the World Trade Center 1 and 2?
Well, that's still a hotly debated question. I just was talking about that with a guy named Ronald Blyer on my radio show last night. He's a no-planes guy who thinks that if you look at the images of the plane supposedly hitting the South Tower, that it's obviously fake. It's CGI. And it is definitely a pretty strange-looking video. If you look at it in slow motion, the plane just sort of melts into the building. It disappears into the building, and the building is unharmed as the plane melts into it. But I don't know, maybe that's a video anomaly, and I need more evidence before I'm sure of that. I know the simplest way to do 9/11, assuming that there was robust remote flying technology at the time, which there almost certainly was, would be to simply remote hijack actual commercial airliners and fly them into the targets. And that way they wouldn't have needed to do all the other kinds of deceptions that would have been necessary if there actually weren't any plane strikes. But this is a hotly debated question, and that's not the issue that I would bring to the table if I were talking to people who aren't really aware of all of this evidence. Instead, I would point at the things that are so glaringly obvious, such as the fact that the guys they blame were not even Muslims. They were intelligence agents, in some cases Israeli ones, in other cases CIA ones, impersonating Muslims using stolen identities. We know that those guys were not even, whoever they were, the fake people or the real Arabs. There were no Arabs at all on the planes. And we know that the three skyscrapers in New York came down from very advanced controlled demolitions, blown up with explosives. They certainly didn't fall down from modest office fires caused by jet fuel, which is just kerosene. These are the things that we know for sure. And we also know that every other aspect of the official story pretty much is also false. So getting into the details of, you know, did planes actually hit the towers, and even the plane in the Pentagon, these issues are really secondary because the whole thing is such an obvious hoax, whether or not they even used real planes. We know there weren't any hijackers. There were no hijacked airliners, or at least hijacked by humans. But whether there were automatically hijacked or remote flown planes used is a hotly debated question.
That's a great point you raised, Dr. Barrett, because, a lot of folks do get caught up in debating the intricacies over it. And I'm all for that. And I'm, kind of like that old Oreos commercial, you know, why not both? I'm the type of person, too, where I can even fathom how several of these things could be true simultaneously. Maybe some kind of exotic weaponry was being tested out on 9/11, but that doesn't mean that controlled demolition wasn't always going on, or wasn't also going on, because you'd certainly want to hide if any exotic weaponry was being used. And it's a mistake, I think, and sad that so many in our circles do actually, like, denounce each other over this stuff, when in fact, like what you're saying, it really is just secondary details. Well, there's our cue for another break. We will be back in a few minutes here, folks, with some more exciting commentary on the 9/11 event from Dr. Barrett and Pat Shannon. So stay tuned. We will be right back after these messages.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRite, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRite makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRite today from Google Play or the App Store.
Welcome back to Blood River Radio, folks. We are glad to be on air with you tonight. Thrilled and honored to be on air with Pat Shannon and Dr. Kevin Barrett. And we've been discussing, for those of you who might just now be tuning in, we've been discussing anomalies and inconsistencies in the official story about 9/11, whose anniversary, as you all are well aware, I'm sure, is coming up in just 4 days. An official story that, I might add, if you'll pardon the expression, has holes big enough in it to fly a 747 through. So one thing, too, on that same note of anomalies, there was that whole debacle about the BBC announcing the collapse of Building 7 well before. Was it a full hour, if I'm remembering correctly, before the building actually collapsed?
23 minutes.
Dr. Barrett and Pat, I'm sorry, Pat?
23 minutes. They announced it at 5:23. It happened at 5:23, but they announced it on the 5 o'clock news.
So way ahead of time. Now, Pat, Dr. Barrett, both of you, feel free to comment on this. In all of your experience as academics, scholars, researchers, et cetera, is there any possibility that something like that could be mere coincidence?
Not when we got videos of her standing there, and there's the building standing behind her while she is announcing that it has collapsed. No, I don't think it's anything except a good.
It was also quite an amazing coincidence when BBC responded, when people pointed this out to them, by claiming that they had lost all of their 9/11 footage, including this footage, so they couldn't verify whether or not Jane Stanley had really reported Building 7 coming down 20 minutes before it did. But then a few weeks after that, they said, oh, yeah, actually, we found an affiliate that did store that footage, and yes, that is her, and we apologize for the mistake. That was their explanation. With apologizing for mistakenly announcing this building that nobody would have ever thought would come down, coming down 20 minutes before it did.
Just a mistake, folks. Go back to your usual programming. Nothing to see here.
And to understand the craziness of this, we have to understand that never in all of history has a steel-framed high-rise building ever completely collapsed from any cause except for controlled demolition. It just never happened. There have been some damaged buildings, some partial progressive collapses and things like that that take a long time to work up. But there would be nobody would ever expect that Building 7 would totally collapse. And so announcing that 20 minutes before it happens, and it happens in such a ridiculously obvious controlled demolition, we all know that they knew it was coming ahead of time, and somebody put the word out early. And likewise, there was a countdown to demolition that went out over police radio, and people reported hearing this at the site. And there are reports that New York radio station announced that the building would be demolished or was coming down. And so people gathered outside the building. And shortly before it came down, the police ordered everybody back and said, that building's coming down. You can see the videos of the police saying that building's about to come down. And then, according to witnesses, police radio had a countdown, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And boom, it went down into its footprint.
Kevin, let me ask you something on that subject. This is the investigator in me. Something smells because there had to be a motive for bringing it down. And the rumor at the time, and I'm sure know more about this. The rumor at the time was that was the brains of the whole operation, when the computers and everything were in Building 7, and even in Giuliani's office. Did you ever confirm that?
No, I certainly couldn't confirm it, but it's a reasonable guess. Certainly, we do know that the New York Emergency Management Command Center was on the 23rd floor of Building 7. And so when the Twin Towers were hit by planes and burning, at that point, everybody involved in dealing with emergencies in New York, which would be both local and state and federal agencies, the people, the emergency people, they all should have made a beeline for the 23rd floor in Building 7. But the word went out, don't go there, because, of course, if you know that the towers are coming down, you're not going to send everybody down to Ground Zero. So everybody got down.
Then, of course, there was that interview with Larry Silverstein, right, the owner of the World Trade Center complex, who actually said on tape in this interview that they decided to pull Building 7, which is official demolitions industry jargon for performing a controlled demolition.
That's right. Yeah, Larry Silverstein on a PBS documentary was interviewed about this, and he said, I remember getting a call from the fire department commander, and he said there's been such a terrible loss of life that maybe the best thing to do is pull it. And so they made that decision to pull, and we watched the building collapse. That's a confession to controlled demolition.
Extraordinary. So, okay, now we could do a 3 or 4 hour show just going into all of the anomalies and we could do a whole segment just detailing for you guys all the incredible papers and books and documentaries that have been made on this subject that you can immerse yourself in to get up to speed on this. But Pat mentioned a really, really crucial detail here that I think we should hone in on here for the sake of the time, which is unfortunately running short for this segment. And that's the old, you know, adage, the old Latin phrase of qui bono, who benefits? Pat, Kevin, or Dr. Barrett, both of you feel free to comment on this. What, in your estimation, is the biggest reason that someone who's a skeptic or maybe a little bit on the fence about the issue still should, from a scholarly, from an academic standpoint, be giving this issue a second look, and in spite of all the stigma that folks face to this very day for posing questions about this difficult subject?
Well, okay, I'll start.
Planet Sunview slot.
Okay, who benefits? The neoconservatives, who wanted to double the military budget and fight preemptive wars in the Middle East, were the most obvious beneficiaries. And these are people who are loyal to Israel at least as much as to the United States, and Israel has benefited more from this than anyone else.
Okay, so the money people involved, follow the money would be a big takeaway from that. And then, of course, the state of Israel itself benefited tremendously from all of this. Pat, what would you add to that?
I'm sorry, I was cut off, and I don't know what the recent discussion was. But another discrepancy was this CNN reporter, Jamie McIntyre, who... airlines fuselage out there on the grounds at the Pentagon. So then McIntyre began to lie about it and say, oh, yes, now we found the fuselage. You know about that, Kevin?
No, I didn't remember that Jamie McIntyre claimed to have found the fuselage. That's pretty interesting because, yeah, there was very, very little apparent wreckage at any of these alleged crash sites, including the
right.
towers. Yeah.
Let me ask you this, Dr. Barrett. The obvious reason, at the time at least, was to get into war because the banksters make billions off of war. But the first two were invaded were Afghanistan for the poppy seeds, of course, and then Iraq for the oil. Neither of which was ever accused of having anything to do with the attack, alleged attack on 9/11. So horrible interference. So. Anyway, can you go into that at all on the real motives of the staged attack?
Dr. Barrett, are you there?
Yeah. Mine's coming and going also. I think maybe the NSA is messing with you.
We are getting some weird feedback. Sam was just telling me, and I'm hearing it too on my end, there's this weird high-pitched humming going on. Sorry about that for anyone on the listening end. If you're getting weird feedback or interruptions, technical difficulties are a part of broadcasting on live radio, so we apologize for that. Hopefully we can get Dr. Barrett back in here shortly.
Yeah, we're almost at the top of the hour anyhow.
We are. Until we can get Dr. Barrett back on, Pat, can you take a couple minutes real quick, just tell the audience, because unfortunately we are running out of time. Could you tell the audience a little bit about your website and where they can get your books and whatnot? And hopefully we can get Dr. Barrett back in here soon. If we don't,
okay,
before the time's up, then I'll mention his website once again for the benefit of the listeners as well.
And mine is INI, the three initials, worldreport.com. And we do expose the suppressed news, the stuff that media doesn't want us to know. And well, they're also my book specials are there. We got a $99 book special that it was about half price. It's about $200 worth of books and CDs, including my Oklahoma City investigation back in 95, and more on 9/11, the Davon Kleist tape there on 9/11 is very, very informing. And there's seven of my books for a $99 special, so that's a real bargain. We also got some of Red Beckman's. The recently deceased Red Beckman we have a special, and we got one set left of Red Beckman's books. So I would urge anybody that was a fan of Red Beckman's to get the Born Again Republic and the Black Robe cover-up. I mean, it's a great, great work that he did over the years can be found at iniworldreport.com. There's one other thing.
Well, folks, it looks like we are out of time. Unfortunately, we are out of time, too, before we can tell you a little more about Dr. Barrett. But for those of you who want to check out his work, which I strongly recommend, he is a fantastic scholar on this subject, check out his website, truthjihad.com. And it's been a pleasure and a privilege to have him on. We'll hope to have him back on soon once again. And thank you so much for tuning in and listening tonight. Thank you for being with us, Pat. Thank you for being with us, Dr. Barrett.
Always fun. Always fun. Jacob, stay well.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it.
Oh, well, yes, thank you, folks. God bless each and every one of you. And stay tuned for the second hour. We will have more exciting content coming up for you on Blood River Radio.